The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
On today's Believe in Chicago Sports podcast, we talk about the Blackhawks fire sale as they rebuild. What's the future look like for this team, and are they trading away too many of their young pieces? Plus, we continue to scratch our heads about the White Sox, Tony La Russa blunders, and an Eloy Jimenez injury once again. And then we'll close with football. The Bears make a few moves, and USC and UCLA are now rivals with Northwestern Illinois. That's really weird. All that and more on Believe in Chicago Sports.
Welcome in. Welcome back to the Believe in Chicago Sports podcast with your host, myself, Dan Collins, who you can find on Twitter at TweetDanCollins. My fine, lovely co-host, Joey Gelman, who's on the other side of the Skype, and a pretty nice Vader t-shirt, I must say, is that Vader is coming. Vader is coming, and so are his tweets at Joey Gelman on Twitter. And, of course, we are brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network. You can find them at Believe Network. Joey, it's been a little bit of time. You were at a wedding, not your own. Hope that was good. That was about a week or so ago, if I recall correctly. A few things going on my end as well, but here we are, back in the podcast, back behind the hot mics. You are pissed off about what the Blackhawks are doing. No, I'm just kidding. I won't speak for you. You're not necessarily pissed off. Confused, I guess, is the word. And I'll be completely honest with you. Myself, I guess I'm a little confused. The biggest thing that I guess I'm confused about is, and we're definitely going to obviously get into it right now, so I'll just go on ahead and break the ice. Ah, no pun intended there. No pun intended, to be quite honest with you. But you need to trade a 20-ish year old. I mean, I'll look up his age now, but a young enough Alex DeBrincat to almost start a rebuild. 24-year-old Alex DeBrincat, you have to trade him to start a rebuild. Is he not young enough? Is it by the time, like, the kind of, if you were to stay, by the time, like, the they were to get relevant and just want to work out? We get into all that if you want to. Also, like, trading forwards and drafting defensemen. We'll get there. We'll get all into it. I know a little confusion on your end. I think it's going to be quite some time before this is a hockey town again, if you will. I think it's going to be quite some years. I'm a little cool with that. I don't necessarily consider myself a Fairweather fan, but if the Hawks need some time to become relevant again, hey, as long as you don't become radio only, which that won't happen, we turn it back to 1999.
Or 2006, but yeah.
I guess we don't have to flip it back that far. Try to do somewhat of a Prince reference. That did not work at all.
Oh, sorry. That was good.
No, it wasn't good at all. No, it was shit. Don't act like it was good. It was actually pretty bad. But either way, here we are. You're a little confused. I understand it. Or at least I feel like I do. Was it more than that? I know that's obviously like the biggest parts of it. I know most fans were a little, if you weren't upset, you were a little confused, or you were a little uneasy. There was some sort of a sigh, like, right? When you saw the Alex DeBrincat news, it was like, here we go. Thought he might be one of the ones who stick around. And the thing with this, like with these rebuilds, and I think it happens, like it happened with the Cubs as well, and even the Sox a few years ago, when they're like, you know what, we're done with being a team that's mired in mediocrity or whatever it was, we're gonna blow this thing up. Is you still want some of those names around, especially the younger ones, right? Like the ones like you start doing this whole fan grabbing thing of, oh, I really like this player and they're young and they could fit the mold and they could stick around while we trade away all the other older peoples. And you know, didn't necessarily happen in the case of DeBrincat. And I know, obviously, a fan favorite gone. It seems almost like really a complete rebuild now of like that dynasty, right? That you remember starting back in 2010. That's a completely gone. Keith retired. You get nostalgic on that. But like, not only are players being traded away, have been being, you know, like, you know, free agency, you name it, retiring, like there's been all sorts of things to where now those last little final remnants of like that era, right? And then even after that era, when you're talking about other players like DeBrincat or something, somebody you thought would be part of the new era, maybe Now even that's getting a little refreshed. So I don't know. Sad days for Hawks fans. That's sad days, but it's buckle up season, right? It's buckle up time. Buckle up, and it's gonna be quite a interesting few years for the Hawks fans.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's I personally think it's the right moves, but you know, I'll let you know why. But I just it's you know they're talking yesterday. Or maybe the day, whenever NHL free agency started this week, and they were talking about the Red Wings were buyers for the first time in 7 years. And when you think of the Red Wings, you go, okay, that's the, you know, perennial team that was good for decades. And then their run finally ended, you know, Hawks rival too, but their run finally ended and they've been bad for the last couple of years. You kind of haven't really heard from them. And it took 7 years for them to get back here, right? So I, you know, hope and pray it's not that long, but I don't know. I mean, I truthfully can't figure out what they're doing. Let me rephrase. I know what they're doing. They're rebuilding, but I don't agree with the way they're choosing to rebuild and continuing to do these.
Are we talking about the Cubs now or the Hawks? I'm joking. Go
yikes. No, the Hawks. The Cubs are another story. But you know, you need some cornerstone pieces for a rebuild to work instead of taking kind of flyers on draft picks you may not know. I mean, you know, in football or basketball, sometimes it's easy to know if you got a generational talent. Hockey, you can, of course, too, but it's a, you know, it's kind of like baseball. It's not as cut and dry. And so, you know, when you're sitting here looking at a rebuild, you say, okay, what pieces do I want? It's a 24-year-old Alex DeBrincat who, by the time he's 27 or 28, still in his prime, you're ready to compete again. And I don't get what it does for you to trade a piece like that away when now you're just starting with nothing now. I mean, and looking at what they've done, and I credit, you know, Kevin Davidson as a quasi new GM to want to clean house and do all that and not retain pieces that may not be what you thought they were. But man, I mean, If you still have Kane and Taves on this roster right now, and you look at this and you go, okay, you traded DeBrincat, you traded Kirby Dach, you don't bring back Dylan Strome, you don't bring back Dominic Kubalik, and you go, what's left? That's your entire offense. And you're, again, pissing off someone like Patrick Kane, who loses his top line mate again, just like he did with Panarin. And this screams the exact same thing of trying to play chess with the wrong pieces here of getting rid of Panarins and DeBrincats. Those are guys you build around, not trade away for the potential to build around somebody else. And you know, the Bowman list popped up the other day where it's all these players that were brought in or drafted that are gone that were supposed to be cornerstones or misses. I know that's why you're at this point, but I mean, from 2010 on, right? Okay, I'm just reading the list here. Kevin Hayes declined to sign. Denault traded. McNeil bust. Teuvo Teravainen, decent player, still playing well for Carolina, traded. Hartman traded. Nick Schmaltz traded. Joki Haru traded. Adam Boqvist traded. Bodine traded. Dach traded. Saad traded. Retained traded. And it's like all these pieces. I mean, you may not be able to choose all of them, but boy, if I were to choose and go, okay, Panarin. Well, you had Saad in the first place, so you could keep Saad, Panarin, DeBrincat, Schmaltz, Joki Haru, Teuvo Teravainen. These are all really good and really young pieces to build around, and you're deciding to go with the unknown in completely blowing this up. And I just don't think that's the right way to go about it, especially when you have your two stars left with you here. I don't know what you do with them. Why would they want to be here? So it's I'm all for rebuilding the right way. But I really feel like they're taking a big risk again by trading away their best young talent. It'd be one thing if they traded Kane or Taves and got a first round pick haul back. Then I understand. They're over 32 years old. They won you three cups. I get it. I don't love it, but I get it. These guys are the guys you're supposed to build this next core with, and they're choosing to not do that. But I'll let you jump back in. It's frustrating to me.
Oh no, you took the floor. I mean, really, the only other thing I had to add with that was, you know, you bring up the two other pieces, you know, that obviously you're even your more casual Chicago Blackhawks fan in this city, you know, it's like the only ones they could still kind of cling to, right? Or the Taze and Kane both was like 33, 34 years old, 130, you know, both, like you said, north of 32 years old. They're not going to be around for the next Blackhawks Stanley Cup. Like, they're just not. So like you said, one, why would they even want to be here? Even though there's rumors going around right now. I just saw actually something circulating on social media. Where you can obviously find all kinds of special little sports nibbets. But like, apparently Patrick Kane saying things along the lines of that hinted at wanting to stay here, like not wanting to leave Chicago, and maybe not. Right. I mean, why? I guess that would be one of the main things is like, yeah, we most likely are not going to win like another cup here, but do we go somewhere else and like just be one of these like household names on another team and like play on the second, third line on, you know, a really good championship contending team and, you know, finish off our days there? Or do we just like write it off here in the sunset in Chicago if we can, and like if the contracts make sense and, you know, we just end our careers here at, you know, with the Hawks and it is what it is. And like, that's,
they can play for 10 more years. I mean that's what's crazy.
Yeah, sure, but I mean,
or like five, but either way, it's a long time.
Okay, say they can play for five, yeah, but how many years are you actually really going to be relevant?
Two
or three, like that's what I'm saying. So by the time like you get, you know, if you're gonna, you know, be traded away to a contender, this would be the team to still play, you know, somewhat at the top of your game, you know, while you can. It's like they're obviously north of their prime, you know, they're outside of the prime, it's at the decline now, but obviously still plenty in the tank. Obviously if they were definitely on a contributing team, sure, but I mean if you were to stick with the Hawks for a couple more years, I mean that's it, that's a wrap. I mean by that time, you know, the next team you would go to three-ish years down the road, you know, if that's like what the timetable's like, you're you know, like I said, you're playing like second, third line, really, and you're maybe a kind of a contributor. You're more or less one of those older household names, potentially. And I don't know, maybe I'm completely wrong at the way I'm looking at this. I very well can be, but I mean, where do they fit in, like on a total rebuild, right? Like, are they there just because they're the household name? Like, is it a ticket thing? Is it, hey, we still got the fan favorites? Because where is it, just like the stock isn't high enough right now to sell? You got to wait maybe to see what they could do next season. And then, you know, you go from there. I mean, I guess the biggest question is, are they part of this? Like, do you want them here forever? Are they, you know, taking this kind of like unofficial, or you want them to take, especially with Taze being, you know, the captain for the last 10 plus years, like, is he taking on like this mentorship role with the youngins? And like, that's kind of more or less what you want him.
Who's he mentoring? Who's there?
Literally every single player there now, you know, everybody being brought in, right? Like for the next couple of years, if say like Taze sticks around that long, then it's like, that's kind of what you get, whatever they give you. That's literally what you're mentoring, right? To see, you know, hopefully those pieces, you know, do, I mean, hey,
yeah,
you know, there's, front office has been switched, you know, there were, you know, there's moves there, and you know, it's kind of you know, new people at the helm here now, and where you take it there on the west side of Chicago, like I don't know. But to tell you the truth, like in terms of like being excited about Blackhawk hockey, whatever. I mean, I'm sorry, do I sound like a shit sports fan? I mean, I'm just being real with you here though, and I think like it's kind of important to express that though, because I think a lot of people like in this town, and like, hey, we heard it all through, you know, 2010 on, even, you know, the few years before 2010 where they were like pretty damn relevant, you know, not Stanley Cup winners, but still, you know, up and coming in the league and in this city. It's like, if you don't have a top-notch hockey team out there, like, sure, you gained like a whole lot new fans during that dynasty era, you know, that the 10 plus years of being pretty damn relevant in the league, but you're about to see, I think, at the United Center, how quickly that could fade away, right? When the team is going to be, ooh, not so good. Especially like if it seems like it's going to be, you know, continuous there. Like, I know everybody, you know, up and down was going to say, oh, I'm a Hawks fan. What do you think? I'm this big hockey fan. We're about to find out how many of those are really true blue diehard hockey fan. And I mean, I say that because this has been something, you know, we talked about before, Joey, where it's like, you know, I would consider both of us definitely like diehard baseball fans, but one, I mean, sure, it's totally different. There's 162 games, 81, you know, of them you can catch at home. I get it, but it's still like, you know, if the product's not there, I mean, come on, Hawks, you gotta, It's the fans could go many other different places, right? Especially during that time of year at the other team in the United Center with the Chicago Bulls, who hopefully are going to continue to, you know, improve and at least at the very least be entertaining, right? But yeah, I don't know. It was questionable. I will say that obviously that there was some things, you know, done, the Brinkett one being the biggest one where it didn't make too much sense. Like you said, you still kind of want a core, right? Like there's at that age, especially like at 24 or whatever, I believe he is, you know, mid 20s, like that's still somebody you could build around. So, but here we are. I mean, questionable things.
Yeah.
give me from the Hawks to the Bears. To the Bulls might be the only one at this point you could leave out to where there's some really questionable head scratching things going on at the very top, right? Like at the very top of the operations of the team, right? Like Blackhawks, I mean, pretty questionable stuff. We'll see how it works out. The Bears, I mean, always fairly questionable, not necessarily as of recent, like this offseason, but you know, until you know, when Mr. Nagy was still in town, which I know we're far past anyways, but there's been some very questionable things across all, you know, ownership platforms in this town the past couple seasons. If you go back, you know, just a year or two. So I guess it's on the Blackhawks' turn to give you the head scratcher.
Yeah. But the problem is the majority of teams now are the head scratchers. Like you said,
oh, yes.
Cubs are rebuilding, Hawks are rebuilding, Bears are rebuilding, White Sox are underachieving, and the Bulls are.
Bears, like I said, they're out of the head scratching stage. You know, we got you know, new coaching staff in there now too. I mean, we'll get to like N'Keal Harry and other things like that, which I don't think is necessarily a head scratcher. But the Bears, I mean, the books open on them now. Like the ownership and the McCaskies have kind of redeemed themselves a little bit with, you know, getting rid of, you know, the infamous Nagy that you know, we wanted gone for like the past two seasons, it seems like. But, you know, here we are. But yeah, I mean, like I said, there's still those head scratching moments with the, you know, the past year or two. And is it the majority of the teams? Yes. I mean, even the Bulls were there a few years ago when you know, before they got a new regime as well. So it's just, that's Chicago sports for you, but we believe.
Yeah,
right?
we believe.
We still
it's going to take a.
You know, we're probably the most pessimistic Believe show out there. It's going to be hard because I don't listen to every single Believe podcast that's sports related. But we might be one of the more or the most pessimistic one.
Potentially. And that's the job, right? It's you. Know, it's way more fun to bitch about everything than to be excited.
Of course.
Much more
of course.
To talk about. But no,
hey,
it's going to be
actually. I'd rather be excited. Like I'm watching the Sox right now behind me 6-1 right now against the Twins. We'll get into them as well. We still got a whole shitload of stuff to dive into, but bitching is fun, but I'd still much rather be.
Oh yeah.
Especially when it comes to my Chicago White Sox here, I'd rather be in much more good spirits, but
well, they were supposed to be the good spirits. That's the problem.
We'll see after this series and on. So,
but yeah, the Hawks stuff, I mean, to close it, like it's going to be a while. I mean, they're off the ice stuff that happened all year with the Kyle Beach and everything, like tarnished everything they've done the last decade for a lot of people. And I think it was hard for people to watch or attend or give them their money this year, just for that alone, let alone the product was bad. And I think now we're just, you're right. It's just, we're going to see who kind of sticks around, who's in terms of fandom, who's going to go. Not that I'm saying everyone's fair weather, but it's been a rough stretch here for the Hawks, and it's not going to be prettier moving forward for the foreseeable future. And when you have, you know, it's like the Cubs, right? The Cubs won the World Series in 16. Here we are in 22, and you don't have Baez, Rizzo, or Bryant on the team. I mean, that would have been an unfathomable concept, right? So now you're thinking about it. Okay, the next great Hawks team is not going to have Kane, Taves, Keith, Seabrook, any of that. And it's how do you get back to that level of play? It's gonna take a while, so we'll just have to wait and see. But what I don't want to take a while is for your White Sox to get their asses back in gear and turn this summer around. And that's coming from the damn Cub fan in the room.
I could talk for the next 3 hours about this.
Well, Zoom only has a 40-minute limit, so you're stuck today.
Yeah, there we go.
Our Skype's, you know, we're always on the other side of the Skype. I will say today we are Zooming because Skype was being mean to Dan's computer. So shout out to Zoom.
This is true. I mean, look, this Minnesota series here now, the four games, like I said, it's going on now, game one, as we're recording this thing. You know, a lot of people saying, oh, this is it. This is the playoffs, or we'll see, you know, this is like a playoff series, or we'll see where they're at. No, I don't even need the end of these four games, like with Minnesota. Now, like, I know where we're at. Like, once again, like, we're, I used this line already earlier in the show. It's buckle up mode, but it's, I mean, you're talking about a team right now with the Chicago White Sox. They're going to win what? Maybe, hopefully, 85 plus games. But at this point, I mean, there's things since like our last show, like, where there was a little bit of fight. I'm trying to think of what game it was. Give me just 1 second here. It was the back and forth game I actually was able to watch. I believe it was the 9-8 contest against Minnesota. Yes, it was, where they were just going back and forth. And they ended up being victors in that extra inning game. But so, I mean, you're obviously seeing good signs of like life there, but it's two, they're very 500-esque. I mean, they're not even a 500 baseball team now, right? As we speak, hopefully as we roll into the All-Star break, if they want to go on ahead, and just sweep the Twins right now, we'd go on ahead and be, I believe it's like what, we'd maybe be a game or so above 500. But honestly, we're more than halfway through the season where we're like 86 games in. This is what we got. I think at very best, we have like, five wins above 500. Was I going to put you like at 86 wins? Like, they're a 500-esque ball club. So like, is there hope? I mean, I don't know. You thought there was hope with Eloy coming back, but now he might be down again for you know, a certain amount of time. Like, we'll see. Luckily enough, the All-Star break's coming up, and you hope it's nothing too major. And then, you know, maybe give it a week or two, and he's back. But like, we'll see on that. I haven't seen the latest on that since yesterday when he had to exit the game. But you know, if you're going to lose Eloy again, and like, that's just, you don't even know what else is going to come like injury wise. So we'll see. But it's frustrating. You know, La Russa is once again intentionally walking batters who have, you know, one or more strikes on them. You know, it was the 0-1 count the other night. At least it wasn't, you know, a 2-strike count. And then, you know, we all know what happened after that. But very questionable things still going on there. 500-esque style club. Even if they somehow find a way to win the division, they're most likely still going to have to be like in that new playoff format, going ahead and play in one of those shorter series anyways, because they're going to be the weaker of the division winning teams. So, you know, you look around the rest of the league, and this is what I always do. When you know the team you're watching is going to be, and once again, this is very macro-esque of us, but I mean, that's what we do as fans. Like, when you look at the macro picture of things, all right, we should be taking it one step at a time, but even if we figure it out enough to win the division, or if we have to get a wild card spot, what are we looking at from there? I mean, I know you could say, oh, well, if Kopech, you know, make sure like he's healthy and has his stuff together by then, you know, you have Kopech, you have Cease, you have Giolito, you have Lynn, who Lynn's been shaky. Like, you know, you have those, you know, four horsemen right there. Like, that could win you a series, and, you know, maybe you get a little lucky. Well, hope's not necessarily a great thing to rely on. So, I mean, when you look at other playoff caliber teams and then you look at the White Sox, I'm sorry, the record speaks for itself, right? Like, the play speaks for itself, the sloppy base running, the sloppy fielding, the questionable managerial decisions, and just exactly where they've been up to this point. It doesn't give you too much hope. I mean, we'll write it out. I already know. I know exactly what we're going to get from this team, Joey. Stamp this right now. We'll revisit this idea in September, and I'll probably talk about it multiple times on the show. Anyways, they're going to be 500-esque baseball. We'll win a series. We'll lose a series. Maybe we'll get a sweep into it. Like, you know, like, but that's what it's going to be. Like, this team isn't winning 90 games. Like,
well, why is that acceptable?
It's not.
That's my thing. Is like, this was the World Series or bust stretch of this. The
you know,
the rationalization that they're at this place, or they may get, but it's like, we can't be having that conversation. You're not, it's not fair to you as a White Sox fan to have that conversation, because this is supposed to be the window of winning, not, oh, maybe if they can make the playoffs, that'd be wonderful. Like, no, this was a World Series team.
Listen, I actually had this talk with at the kiddos' little league game. One of the fathers, one of the other coaches. We were actually diehard Sox fan. We were actually having this talk where, listen, I know I've only been a Sox fan since the year 2000. That's only 22 seasons, but still. You know, and I, you know, my dad and uncles, like, they were Sox fans, you know, many decades before. So I can even, like, you know, talk about seasons, you know, previous seasons with them as well. But think about it, Joey.
even you as the Cubs fan on the show, just to think about this, I told him, I was like, this has to be one of the most, if not the most disappointing White Sox season in recent memory. Right. I mean, what's more disappointing than this? Don't give me, you know, 06 where they at least won 90 games. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, like this, considering expectations, you know, a lot of even national media outlets, for whatever that's worth, were, you know, picking them to go to or win the World Series. I mean, this is by far, if you are a 85 or sub 85 win team sneaking into the playoffs, and God forbid, don't give me, but I could see it another first round bounce. And we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. But regardless, this has definitely been, expectations considered, one of the most disappointing White Sox seasons ever, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
can you think of one? Like, you just even go back to like the past 10, 15 years, if you can. Like, no. Like, no. Nope.
Because when they made it again in, what was the playoff run? 07 or 08? Whatever the year the Cubs made it with them.
I believe, like, it, 08 was the blackout year, was it not? Because I was at that game.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, that's disappointing and all that, but you weren't like this. No, this is the same point in which the Cubs were in their window. I'd say, well, 15 was a year early, but I could call it 16. You know, this is as if they didn't achieve the expectations of at least making it to the NLCS, going to the World Series and doing what they did. Like, you can't guarantee anything past that, but that was the expectation. This is the year that this team is supposed to shine, and they're just not. And I'm curious, you know, I know everyone bitches about La Russa, and I'll be the first one to tell you that. But I'm also just, I'm trying to figure out outside of him too, what's going on, because it's not always just the manager, but it's just incredibly disheartening and frustrating, because now you look at it and go, okay, well, when are they going to have that window? If this was leading up to a World Series run that's now not happening and could see a team not even win 90 games that's supposed to win a World Series, where do you then go? Because, like, I could tell you the Cubs story. They had the 1 year they won it. I know they went to the NLCS, what was it, 3 years in a row, but they were completely outmatched after 16 for 17. And then 18, they lost the one gamer. And then the last game of the year. And then ever since, it's been this and the sell-off. And it goes quickly. And you got to take advantage. You know, Theo always said it's every season sacred. Okay. Well, how do you ensure this one still is? Because if it's not, you're in a whole world of hurt for the future, because there's no guarantees anymore. This was supposed to be that guarantee.
Well, let's just, I mean, we, like, if you look at it from big picture and speak about it, you know, like I said, like, as a whole, like that, you could break, we know exactly what's been going on this year. There's been, we'll just even start with some of the smaller yet really big things. Defense, catastrophic at some points, right? Like, they don't have enough good defenders out there. They're doing this whole DH rotation because there's enough good bats, quality bats, you know, you hope so, but not, like, defense, base running, bad, right? Certain managerial decisions, extremely questionable. There's been a fair share of injuries, key injuries, right? There's been players such as, you know, I'll throw it out there, Lance Lynn, Giolito, honestly, look at the numbers, underperforming from what you thought they were going to be, right? Like, you needed Giolito to be the ace, if not the, you know, the 1A or the 1B of this team, right behind Cease or right with Cease. Or, you know, you thought Cease, Kopech, and Giolito, not necessarily in that order, were going to be like three big parts of this if you were really going to win it all, right? Giolito, not necessarily there. Lance Lynn, not necessarily there. You're having, you know, a few shaky bullpen performances here. Moncada, very, very much underperforming. Eloy, we're hoping we could still keep him on the field now. Like I said, after exiting early, like, you can't go on ahead losing him again. So TA, you lost him for a little bit, but it's not only that. It's not only, like I said, the injuries. It's then when you have key players missing, and then you're having bad base running, you're having bad fielding, you're having questionable managerial things, the pitching, which, you know, you thought was going to be one of the strongest points, when there's certain outings that are, I mean, think about it. They need Johnny Cueto now to save the day, which he's doing again, like I'm saying, but, you know, there's players that are not performing. Not, if you're going to win the World Series, or if you're going to make a big, big run, you need players to be overachieving, right? Like, you need to be exceeding above your expectations. And right now, what you have are players that are underperforming. So, ipso facto, underperforming arms. Well, not only that, certain, I mean, Moncada, you could throw that in the mix as well, but you have big name players, right, who you thought were going to be at a certain level, underperforming, injuries, defense, base run, the whole lot, like that, even just those like parts right there, that does not scream championship team, right? Like, if you can't play, if you can't run the base as well, if you can't, you know, play defense, if you're, you know, getting rattled by injuries, if you are underperforming in certain places, like that's just too much of a bad mix. The equation equals, let me tell you exactly what it equals to at this point of the show, 43 and 45. That's what the math equals, if you're doing it there. Yikes. So that's where we are as a team. It's just the reality of the situation. Like, you are what you are, right? I mean, let's not get into, what was it, Monday or Sunday Night Football with the boom, they are who we thought they were, you know, Chicago.
Let them off the hook.
There you go. But the reality is that's what they are right now. And the only way that's, so I asked myself this come the second half, and I'll go right in order again. Are the players that are underperforming, once again, just to name a few, because it's right here at top of mind, such as Moncada's, Lance Lynn, Giolito. If you look at their lines, that's underperforming. And, you know, you could throw a few others in there as well. But are the big names that are underperforming, are they going to do significantly better come the second half? Are we going to run the bases a little better? Are we going to play better defense? There's no signs we're going to do either, especially with the defensive part. There's no signs, you know, we're necessarily going to do that much better. Are there going to be better managerial choices? Questionable. So, you know, you keep, you know, are we going to be healthy? Obviously, that's, you know, in the air, but that has to be. So, I mean, for all, is this team going to come together? Is there going to be some type of, like, I know you could go back to, what was it, like the Yankee series with TA. And so, like, sure, they've had like a couple of their moments here as a squad, but are they going to get like that? Is there going to be some type of fire? Like, what's going to happen to where all that could be fixed? And then you can make a good playoff run when they hopefully get there come October. I don't know, but we, like, all you gotta do is watch. Just put on the TV and watch this club, and you'll see some, you know, some good baseball sometimes, and you'll see some really bad baseball at times, and a little bit good with a little bit bad. You got yourself 500. So that's where we're at. And unless something, you know, unless one of those key things that you know we just discussed right now is corrected, that's what you're going to have for the, you know, the next 70-ish plus games. Sorry to be negative.
Something's got to change. And maybe you're like the Blue Jays, you fire your manager. I don't know. But I don't think that solves everything. That's the problem. Everything kind of off kilter. And I don't know how you turn it around. I mean, listen, the Braves did it, right? Last year, exactly that, where they were incredibly mediocre. They lost Acuna, and then they got hot and won the whole damn thing. So anything's possible, but it's just, they're supposed to be the bright spot of the summer, and they're just as rough as everything else. So makes me angry.
I mean, very. And like I said, that's just what it's going to be. I mean, what do you do here now in this series with Minnesota, like right before the All-Star break? Going to win game one, hopefully, right? Like, they're up 6-1 now, barring something super catastrophic, which I will just throw the TV to the floor if they lose this game, that they're winning 6-1 now. I mean, you're going to need to take 3 out of 4 to really go into the All-Star break, you know, feeling really well. And even that puts you at what? At 500, you literally go in at 46 and 46, if I could do simple maths. But yeah, if you split it, like, if you split this 4-game series, and like I said, I'm getting way ahead of myself here now, but you're going to need 3-4 or sweep a 4-game set, which I do not see happening in Minnesota. Sorry, Sox fans, I just don't. So, I mean, say even you split this, it's just kind of right? And like I said, I know I'm getting ahead of ourselves, like, looking at this series, and you know, God knows what can happen here, but Moncada at the plate now, 0-3. There's a surprise. But yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, this series isn't necessarily make or break for me either, because even if you take 3 out of 4, all right, just keep going. Like, there's still so much more, you know, better baseball to be played. So we'll see. I don't know. It's gonna be rough. What did I say last time on the show, Joey, roughly a month ago, that we have now approached a time where it's, hey, it's gonna be one game at a time. It's gonna be, and I know you could say that from the very, very start of the season, no matter how good or bad your team is, but in terms of like the expectations and what you really want from this club, don't live or die like with the, unless they go like on some catastrophic losing streak, it just is what it is. They're going to win 80-ish plus games. Like they'll be in the 80-ish range, hopefully, even that, right? Like they'll run around 80-something games, and then you see what happens from there. If that is that good enough to make the playoffs, hopefully in the Central it can, because maybe you could win the division with like 86, 87 wins, right? So we'll see. I mean, lots unfold, but that's what we're going to have. You're gonna win a bunch, you're going to lose a bunch. We'll see.
Let's talk about fun stuff. N'Keal Harry makes the Bears a Super Bowl contender, yes or no?
There you go. Hell yeah, he does. What a steal. Seventh round pick, but he didn't chalk it up. I mean, you're talking a former first rounder for a seventh round pick. And the thing that gives me a little bit of promise here is he was good enough, N'Keal Harry, that is, right, to be a first round pick. To the Patriots, correct me if I'm wrong, don't necessarily draft.
So was Kevin White, but yes.
I know. But hey, Bears drafted Kevin White, Patriots drafted N'Keal Harry. I'm not on this N'Keal Harry like bandwagon, or I'm not drinking a whole lot of Kool-Aid with it. But I mean,
you bought the jersey, right? Didn't you?
Jersey, got the shirt, but yeah, it's getting made right now, custom delivered from NFLShop.com. No, I mean, hey, it gives Justin Fields another weapon. Like, we'll see what happens. I mean, even if he gets you, I don't know. I mean, decent amount of production. I mean, you don't want Darnell Mooney just getting doubled all day long out there. You know, maybe you get something from Cole Kmet this year. You know, we'll see. But no, I mean, hey, think about it. What, seventh round pick? Like, we weren't going to get a N'Keal Harry type of talent in the seventh round, right? I mean, so it's going to be better than whatever you would have drafted there. It's a position the Bears obviously need some help in. So if you could probably do a little more, you know, with him than the Patriots were, I mean, it, for somebody like Bill Belichick to have to let him go, that could either be like a really good or really bad thing, right? Like either it's something where, like, you know, Belichick just knows his football and he wants this guy the hell out, or maybe he just didn't fit the type of excellent football, right, that Bill Belichick wants to play. Like maybe it's one of those, like, hey, you're not my type of guy. It's not necessarily a complete talent thing, but I mean, regardless, they didn't want to put in enough resources to, I mean, what they were going to cut him, right? But instead they're like, all right, you want to give us a seventh round pick, go on ahead. But
yeah,
like I said, it's better than anything you probably draft in the seventh freaking round.
True.
So I mean, it's worth a shot. It's 100%.
No, it can't hurt.
Shot. Yeah, it's a first round.
You lose
talent.
Nothing. Yeah, and I think too, what's interesting is, and this goes for all the players this year, but I think, you know, so before we were stuck with, are they fitting the Matt Nagy system and not building things towards the players you have, and everything I've heard from Luke Getsy screams to me that whether they're good, bad, or horrible, or Super Bowl, they're building stuff to the players they have. And so if you can get any silver lining from it, it's that someone like N'Keal Harry will be, you know, probably utilized properly and given a chance. He may be awful, but he at least will be given the chance. So we'll see. All right. Next rapid fire. When's our trip to Pasadena? UCLA and USC are now part of the Big Ten, taking on our Illini. I guess then Illinois can play in the Rose Bowl with never having to make it again. So that makes it much easier. But what a wacky, wild thing. I mean, nobody can say anymore that this is amateur sports. This was all about the money, about expanding coast to coast.
Please.
I mean, it's just weird. But it's cool. It's just weird. And now Illinois is never going to win a recruiting battle because we can go to Champaign, Illinois, or California.
Oh, what the hell are you talking about? Give me Champaign. I'm just kidding. Give me Cali. I'm messing with you. No, I mean, I was going to say, to me, it wasn't a surprise, like, at all. I mean, surprise in the sense where, like, when you saw, like, the notification on your phone or, you know, wherever it is, you might have seen it online or whatever. Like, it's like one of those, like, whoa, like, it was kind of like, oh, crap, this is interesting type of moment. But like you said, it's all about the revenue, right? Like, if that's where they see, you know, better economical, or makes better economical sense, or, you know, there's more money to be made by doing that swip and swap, or should I just say like switching on over? Yeah, I mean, it's always about all the money, right? It's hilarious, Joey. Like you said, like, yeah, way to still consider this amateur sports, and which, especially when you're talking about college football at that level, like, you know, in big conferences and college basketball, and just look at these NIL deals now, right? Like, no, this is, which is a good thing in my opinion. It's No, I mean, to think, but you know what's kind of effed up is they'll still have these, these are still amateur athlete type of narratives, right? And what, sure, like they are, you know, they're college athletes, but yeah, the whole system in and of itself, it's just, it's the mini NFL. Like it really is. It's in terms of sponsorships, in terms of the amount of revenue it rakes in terms of having its own day of the week, Saturday, before the big, big dog gets the day of the week of Sunday, the NFL, that is. Like, no, it's, come on. But I mean, not to take away the thunder of the excitement of, hey, now you can have those teams in the Big Ten. What does that mean for Big Ten fans and Big Ten alums like us? You raise an interesting point. I mean, I think the biggest thing you just said is now good luck winning a recruiting battle, which let's be honest, as long as you're part of like a big conference anyways, like, does it like, would, if you were being recruited, like as a five-star recruit, and let's say like you didn't have like any, like you're not from Illinois, you don't have like any ties like to wanting to go to the Illini, and you had to choose between like Illinois or USC, right? Like, does it matter if one's Pac-12, one's Big Ten, if they're both Big Ten? Like, does it really matter? Like, at the end of the day, you're still choosing between, like you said, California or Champaign and then everything else in between. So honestly, like, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, because it is an interesting point you bring up there, like in terms of recruiting battles, but does the conference really play that? I mean, it's still a, you know, it's still a top conference anyways. So does it really matter if like, oh, now they're both Big Ten, or like they weren't Big Ten before, like, oh, I could go Pac-12, I could go Big Ten, or now they're actually both Big Ten. Like, would that really play much of a role in the recruiting part? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've been trying to wrestle with that, because I'm like, oh my God, this makes Illinois be the least desirable destination. And it's like, well, Minnesota may win that, but
You could say at least, you know what, you're right, not to cut you off, but yeah, it might make it the least desirable of the Big Ten. But like I said, if it's really between with that recruit to play at, you know, in
right, because it's the prestige of the program versus right, the
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's just, it's, and listen, I love Champaign. I'm going in 2 weeks, but it's just funny to the idea to me of like, USC has to drive through Rantoul to go to a game in Champaign versus right. Illinois going to LA. It's just, it's in Pasadena. It's just a funny concept to me, but no, I don't know if it changed the landscape entirely, but it's just, it's college football at its finest. It's crazy.
Okay. But still, but now more to that same point, are you excited now? You know, that could be.
Yeah. Cause I would never see USC in person. Probably. Right. So you get to see them now, at least.
Yeah.
Or UCLA.
Or you could say one of those teams is now your, it sounds funny saying like your Big Ten foe or something, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, like that would be cool. Like, so you have a reason to go to LA if Illinois is down there and, you know, you want to head down there to watch a game, like, or if, you know, they come to town and like, now you get to go to Champaign and, you know, catch, you know, USC or, you know, or UCLA. It's interesting. But yeah, I mean, it's mini NFL, right? Like I could see, you know, many, many more changes like this happening. I know, like, eventually, you know, something's going to happen with Notre Dame, which I think they're screwed for like, I, you know, don't quote me on this, but it's like 10 plus years or something. Cause like if they were to join a conference or something, then they're like, you know, going to owe whatever it is, a whole ton of money. But yeah, either way. So like, we're going to see this like more often, which I don't want it to get too goofy. Right. Like everybody's going to try to go where like they can make the most amount of money, you know, which whatever, but as long as this doesn't start getting too goofy of a thing, because at some point it's not necessarily like a traditionist thing or something, but don't just keep going back and forth with, you know, reshaping conferences and whatnot. Just seem a little silly.
Yeah, it's starting to get that way. So I'm curious to see how far this keeps spreading. If you got six more teams joining the Big Ten, Notre Dame comes in and someone else goes. I mean, it's just, then you got two mega conferences. I mean, that's it.
Maybe that's what we'll have.
We'll see.
When all said and done. We'll see.
We shall see. Well,
we complained a lot about Chicago sports, and even when we got to the collegial, no, you know, we didn't really complain about that. We kind of ended it on a somewhat decent note. By the way, I know this is not going to make the tease, but As we talked about off podcast, I know you're not much of a golf viewer type of person with the majors and things like that, but don't know if you saw the news, or not necessarily the news, but how Tiger Woods, the GOAT, performed. Not all that great. So I've been a little bit like on a golf kick the past couple of years, and definitely, you know, watching, you know, the majors and whatnot. And it was a little weird to see that. I don't know. I just had to get that out here on the podcast. So, you know, it's the 150th Open at the home of golf, St. Andrews. There was so much hype going into it this week. The crowd was obviously there supporting Tiger Woods. And even he double bogeys, one. He gets in the water. I think he hit like it was some sort of a wedge shot. He might have been, I don't know, 100, maybe a little over, maybe a little less out, and then rolls off fringe of the green and into the water. So he double bogeyed there, and just not a great start and not a great finish to round one for the GOAT. Barring something like magical tomorrow, definitely not making the cut to see the weekend. So little weird there. I just had to end negative. What the hell's wrong with me? But
we do best. It's sadly a broken down superstar. It's what you get at this stage, sadly.
But it was sad to see that, you know, because I mean he's the GOAT, but I think there's just signs of like, all right, this is it, Tiger. Like, you know, he shot really bad. Last major he was in that he had to withdraw, and now here he is now, like I said, not going to make the weekend, not going to make the cut. So interesting. You would have liked a better performance out of him at, like I said, the 150th Open at the home of golf, which I'm sure he would have wanted for himself. But here we are. What a way to wrap things up. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We still love you. Don't worry. That's going to do it for us today on Believe in Chicago Sports. Make sure to follow us on all the platforms you can. I'm on Twitter at Joey Gilman. He's on Twitter at Tweet Dan Collins. The show, Believe in Chicago Sports, also on Twitter at Believe in Chicago. Part of the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. They're also on the socials at Believe Network. We will check in with you next week. We know we had a little summer break the last couple of weeks, but we are back in action now as we gear up for the rest of the summer and inching closer and closer to training camp, which is absolutely nuts. But we look forward to talking with you again next week, and have a great rest of your week. Go, go White Sox.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.